This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where does Aquaman go to the bathroom at?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Ew. Welcome to Technorama for September 29, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. Of course, as always, I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, of course, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm soaking wet.
I don't want to know.
No, it has nothing to do with Aquaman.
Soaking wet. How about you?
It finally started to rain here. That's I'm so happy.
Oh, dry summer?
It has been, well, the last, what do they say, 87, 86 days, something like that. It's been in the 90s, and we've had little rain. So today the temperature broke, and we're getting a string of rain coming through.
Did you fix it with duct tape?
The rain?
The temperature broke. You said it.
Oh.
You can fix anything with duct tape.
I should have. Yeah.
Okay.
It fixes everything.
Before we get too far into that, we want to remind you that this show is brought to you by the wonderful people at GoToAssist. We've been telling you about this forever. How long do we have to keep telling you before you go try that 30-day free trial? My goodness.
Apparently one more time.
Okay, we're going to do it then. Because this is the way to help people solve problems. Trust me, I do this every day for a living. Remote screen sharing is the way to go. I wouldn't be able to work from home if I did it any other way. That kind of sounds like a bad metaphor, but you know what I mean. I couldn't work from home if I didn't use remote screen sharing.
Yeah, you can use it while you're in the bathroom or outside. Nobody knows.
That's right. As long as you don't turn on the webcam, you're fine.
Yeah.
See what's on their screen, walk them through how to fix it, and they will love you for it. And you
just don't flush the toilet without hitting mute first.
Yeah, that's a good idea. They can provide you with it's awesome. File transfers and chat and everything. For a minute, I was getting GoToAssist mixed up with GoToMeeting. So yeah. Pardon me on that one. But GoToAssist, like I said, I've helped my sister with her email problems. I've helped my brother with, just like regular screen stuff. You know how many problems and things people call you up with? Where's the any key? Like, hang on. All they need is a web browser. All you need to do is point your web browser to GoToAssist.com/techpodcast and try it free for 30 days. It's a wonderful thing. GoToAssist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial.
Relieve yourself.
See, Julie's not here. Otherwise, I'd have the little graphic on the screen. But since I'm driving this monkey business myself, we'll go ahead. Coming up in this episode of Techorama, we show you a way to make your own aliens power loader. How will you be able to... Will you be able to FedEx people soon? And Craig's son Harrison gives us a Star Trek review. Where can you find all that? Keep listening.
We're at the coffee table and somebody's drinking tea.
Love the tea. Gotta stay warm.
Yeah. Let's do something funny for Chuck. Craig, let's figure out how to blow the coffee pot up.
With laser beams?
Yeah.
Let's use laser beams to make instant tea. That would be cool. Well, let's put it on YouTube and send it to Technorama. Oh. They're out of water. The laser has zapped all the water out.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think of Technorama?
Technorama rules.
Oh, Gee, who was that mystery voice on that? What do you think of Technorama?
Yeah, no kidding. Mm. Wow. Yeah, there's no mystery there.
No mystery there. There is a mystery going on in the chat room. We want to welcome everybody to the chat room. If you're around on Sunday nights, we'd love to see you there. Just go to chuckchat.com/technorama. We'll have the magic viewing screens up that you can see at least one of us. Sometimes cameras don't work for both. Audio works generally when we get all the little fiddly knobs and twisty things on this mixer working right. And you don't need to log in. You just need to give yourself a nickname or your real name or whatever, because in about 10 minutes, they'll come up with a really crafty other name for you to use. There's a theme every week. These people like to play on us to see if we can announce what they are and guess the name. In tonight's chat room, we have Gru, Craig, Chuck, ADQ.
Wait, Channel Serve. Don't forget him.
AM, huh?
Chan Serve.
Chan Serve. That's the channel server.
Oh, yeah.
That's a process. ADQ. Okay. AM8TER. Amateur. Oh, that's like a license plate. Okay. AM8TUR. Captain Rootbeer. Glenn Tolar. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back. KC Matt. Marv Cutis of Borg, Nightstar, Funkmaster, Reginald Barframe, The Giant, Tribble Tim, Wes the Wonder Kid, Worf, and ZML 2008. I am not picking up a theme on this, are you?
I think it's a mix. I see some Star Trek in there and some license plate. I don't know. Anyway, they're starting to change their clothes now.
They're getting out of costume.
Wardrobe, yeah. We're done. The extras, yeah, that's funny.
Oh, wait, Worf is now known as Red Shirt.
Well, yeah. Okay.
All right, well, we're going to let it go on that. We also have a birthday calendar. If this is your birthday, happy birthday. We wish you all the best. And there are some people who have gone over to chuckchat.com/wiki and put their birthdays on here. October 1st, which is 10-1, also 101. Oh, I love that. You know, I didn't even get my soundboard up here and running.
Mm-hmm.
I see they got an update to that, but I had to put all my buttons back in there. There, 101. To Stephen Wishy, from St. Louis, Missouri.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Welshy! Oh, that's Welshy. I'm sorry.
102 is Adam Rumke. And apparently last week on September 24th, it was Nintendo's birthday. You know this, but if you didn't know this, how old would you think Nintendo actually was?
I would have, you know, my first thought would have been like, 19, you know, from the 80s.
Yeah, 30 years tops.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot older than that. Try another 90 on top of that. Nintendo was 1889.
You know, at first I thought of steampunk, you know, Nintendo boxes, you know.
Ooh. Oh.
back in 1889. But, you know, well, what was it they sold? Here you go.
Taxi cabs?
I was trying to figure out what was it. They started doing like playing cards and all kinds. Yeah, here you go. They were founded. They did, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and it was like playing cards.
That's insane.
Yeah, some other kind of games. Yeah, it was kind of funny. I guess playing cards. But they had a range of businesses, much like you always heard of like Warner Brothers before they got into movies.
Well, look at today. There's companies like that, Hitachi. They make everything from semiconductors to backhoes. That's like construction equipment, not what.
Oh,
yeah. Thanks.
You lost me there for a minute.
We almost had to take our clean rating off for that one.
The company had tried several small niche businesses, such as a cab company and a love hotel.
What is a love hotel? That almost sounds like a video game they could have come out with.
Don't ask. They were making the future of Nintendo, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Let's get on with the news, because that's what this show is all about, right?
Good news, nobodies!
Okay. In tonight's news, we have... Make sure I got the... You know, that side camera still is out of whack, so we'll go with the back camera for now. In tonight's news, we have a message from Tom Pose. Apparently, FedEx has now come out with P people packs. And I forgot to put a link in the show notes. So I will tell you that I don't know if this is a joke or not. There was no real source cited here. I'm going to dig up the message real quick. Well, you know what? Let's skip over. You go to the co-creator T9 while I find the source of that mail.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. You threw me off guard here. But anyway, stop it, Chuck. You can't do that, man.
Okay.
So are you looking for the source of the mail?
Who died?
Huh?
Who's on first? Okay, never mind. I got it. FedEx Corporation stunned their air travel and commercial shipping industries today when President and CEO Theodore Weiss unveiled plans to begin shipping live humans as early as April 2002. Okay, apparently this is like an old, old April Fool's joke, but it's still kind of funny. Offering frugal travelers the lowest airfares in U.S. history and sparking heated controversy among top industry professionals. The new service, Overnight People Pack, will rely on the same rock-solid infrastructure and delivery history that have turned FedEx Pack, FedEx Box, and FedEx Letter into household words, as well as the breakthrough technology developed exclusively for the international shipping giant. Through an exclusive agreement with AT&T Bell Labs, scientists and engineers developed a proprietary PeoplePack shipping envelope which will protect human cargo from the rigors of overnight shipping while still permitting practical global air travel for as little as $89 each way. Mm-hmm. The new envelopes measured 7 feet by 3 feet by 10 inches, empty, and are designed to accommodate a single adult, male or female, up to 230 pounds, roughly comparable to an oversized sleeping bag. The revolutionary containers consist of multiple layers of synthetic polymer insulation wrapped around a rigid fiberglass skeleton designed to prevent serious injury from stacking or accidental dropping, and a porous outer skin to improve airflow to occupants. Additionally, yeah, I was going to say, wasn't that supposed to be airtight? Yeah. Anyway, it goes on. It's pretty funny like that. And you know what? Oddly enough, I was watching, Headline News, who has, they were having a Clark Howard segment, and he was taking call-ins, and people were calling about their mutual funds and home loans and credit card interest and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Well, this one person called up, and he went to a commercial break, and he said, "How cheap are you? Would you be willing to stand up for your entire flight? It would mean you get a cheaper flight because airplanes could cram in more people." It wasn't stand up as in, you know, totally unrestrained and like a subway. Mm-hmm. It looked more like an amusement park ride, one of those stand up rides. Mm-hmm. Slightly sitting down, but you would be, instead of, what is the average airline seat, about 30 inches of leg room?
Are you talking about those stool type things they were?
No, it wasn't a stool. It was like a full high back chair kind of thing. But it was more vertical than a regular chair. So you couldn't really lie down. It was, I'll have to see if I can find a picture of that. But it meant that you'd get a cheaper rate. There was no quote, obviously, on what the rate would be. Because it's going to vary from, you know, whether you're going middle of September or Christmas Eve for your traveling.
Would you say then cram more people on the bus?
You could get more people on, which would mean it's cheaper for the airlines, which would mean it'd be cheaper for you. But I don't, you know, I get on planes and I need to use my laptop. Or I like to watch a movie, or I like to take a nap, and you can't really do any of that when you're totally vertical.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, well, how much space can they take away from what you've got now? There's not.
They stand you up, is what they do. Well, so your knees don't have to bend.
I'm saying, really, okay, for what you get now, I find that, you know, almost as barely functional. I could not.
No, I don't think it would work. First of all, there's the baggage thing. You're allowed one carry-on and one personal item. Okay, so the carry-on goes in the overhead. You've got more people, so that means less overhead space. Where do you put your computer bag or your purse or your rucksack, backpack?
Yeah.
Nowhere!
That's right.
So it adds more problems than it solves. But if you're a light traveler and you're just going, you know, 2 hours from here to Denver, or for you, you know, North Carolina to Chicago, it's only
or California. How about that?
No. I'm thinking 2 hours or less, and you packed light. It was just a weekend trip. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, we routinely fly out to California from Charlotte.
In that case, you would need to sit down.
That's a stupid 4 hour flight or 4.5 hour flight. Yeah.
So on my airline, I'd stack them more like the bunks on a, you know, a naval ship.
Mm-hmm.
Very low clearance. You can get a lot of people in there and you get to lie down. So you could sell that feature.
But see, I'm also thinking weight, because there's those people who are going to bring up check luggage. All right. So you got luggage below, then you got people crammed in there. More people, more weight. I don't know if they can
more
do
fuel.
That.
More fuel. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure those planes have enough lift to spare.
Maybe.
It's not like they're falling out of the sky because they're overweight.
Well,
of course, now that I say that, it'll happen. Okay. Yeah. Next story from Matt Beckwith. Thank you very much. He was one of those guys on the little sweeper with Steve Holden at the beginning. He said he asked to pass along a message to you. Also, in my show notes here. I'm not good at keeping these on the surface.
The Amazing Fist,
says,
a comic book project.
Kickstarter project. Says, hey there, Chuck and Craig, said in the voice of the caller of the show with the French accent. Oh, like Bookaroo, I suppose. Hey there, Chuck and Craig. Hope all is going well for you guys. He just said he had to say the beginning that way. I am writing to ask a favor for you. Would you mind telling the rest of the Technorama audience about a comic book some friends of mine are trying to get published? Sure, no problem. We'll take care of that right now. Sure. Some friends of mine have started a Kickstarter campaign to help fund the publication of their first full-length comic. I produced a video for them, and they've already had $1,500 committed from backers. If they don't raise their goal of $3,500 by 10-10-10, note the binary sequence adds up to 42, they don't get anything. So there's a link here. We'll provide it in the show notes. It's at kickstarter.com. We'll get there. It's a really long link. I don't want to read it to you. At each level, backers get incentives. Some are pretty cool, like original inked covers, signed copies, and custom drawings. Anyway, if you think it's a good fit for your show and you wouldn't mind sharing, I would be very grateful. I would love to see my friend's dream of publishing a comic book come true. He and his wife are awesome people, and I was happy to donate my time and produce their Kickstarter video. Have a great weekend, 101. Consider it done,
That's
Matt.
That's cool. I need to watch the... Yeah, consider it done. I need to watch the video. It looks pretty cool. And also, the same token, I like this the idea of the website where you can kind of start a project and kind of, you know, get people to donate and give incentives. So I think this is a great idea.
Because that's just what we need is more projects for us.
Yeah. I'm sitting going, I could start about six.
Hey, now, wait a minute. We got a new podcast we're starting. What if we got backing for that?
What are you going to give them?
Signed
MP3.
Right. Digitally signed because it's better. All right, you ready to do your story about the T9 guy?
Yes, and as much as I hate to say this, the other day I was watching a video about Swipe, which is the software keyboard application, primarily on Android, but it's on Windows mobile phones and I think maybe some Blackberries. I'm not sure about that, but where you swipe your finger and your time out. Anyway, the video, one of the co-founders was he helped create. Part of the T9. So when I saw this, I went, oh, here's the other half of the T9. And the story goes like, some of today's youngins started out on a QWERTY keyboard and full touch devices and may not even know what a T9 is, but let us tell you something. I'm sorry, I added that part. Back in the day, it was the way things got done on your phone by copied by a number of manufacturers and software firms. Notably, Motorola and ITAP, T9 was the premier product of the startup Tejic. Did I say that right? That would eventually find its way to major phones with numeric pads sold all around the world, several billions, in fact, and continues to enjoy enormous success today. T9's co-inventor, Martin King, passed away this week after a protracted bout with cancer. Poor guy. That he hadn't been actively involved in T9. For some time, he had been engaged with a new startup, Xbiblio, whose technology actively parses words snapped by camera phones and directs the users for more information in real time. That's kind of neat, interesting right there. But yeah, that
You know, George Starcher was just telling me about that second part where you can snap, you can aim your phone at the computer screen, take a picture, and it will enter the text for you. That's totally bizarre.
Well, using that software, that same program?
The second part there, the ex-Biblio stuff.
Wow, that is kind of neat.
I got to tell you, I never really did like T9. Give me a QWERTY keyboard any day.
No, that's when I was like, these stupid teenagers, they're all texting and blah, blah, blah. You know, doing the T9 stuff. But, you know, now I text all the time, but I got a software keyboard.
Well, I had to do it while I was borrowing Donna's phone between jobs. And I was getting better at it. And I suppose if you used it for a few months, you'd get really good. But I just,
predictive text?
No, not the predictive part, but just being able to go, okay, I know that N is like the second character on this button, and I look less and less at the keys to go 4 4 4 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3
and next it, you know, and you kind of next it through.
Yeah. Yeah. So we feel bad for Martin King and his family. We wish him all the best. And
thank you for his contribution.
Thank you for your contribution. It will be remembered forever. So that brings us to the Hacks and Strange Stories, right? Where are my still images? I need Julie.
Go get her. Go get her out of the
way. Hacks and Strange Stories. First up in Hacks and Strange Stories. Oh, I got to put this on the screen. I'm sorry. This is going to take just a second here. There we go. We have love and wedding pictures right next to the space shuttle. You think this would work with your wife?
I doubt it.
This couple got married. It says, as NASA gets ready to retire its space shuttle, they are relaxing their photography policy for employees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice. Like this newlywed couple, NASA workers Beth and Jesse Palma, who took their wedding pics next to the Discovery this past Tuesday. Beth and Jesse got married in April, but they wanted something different than a standard wedding photo. So we combined the wedding with the shuttle. They are beautiful.
They relaxed the policy so much they actually sat in the shuttle and...
Hey, like, get me. I'm Story Musgrave.
They're standing on the edge of the wing.
They said they are beautiful but bittersweet pictures. Like us, most people at NASA are really sad about the retirement of the shuttle, not to talk about the death of the U.S. manned space program. But watching the last travel of the Discovery unravel before your very own eyes, just one launch before the end, punches everyone in the face, and the credits roll must really hurt. So...
I was going to say, you know, I guess, I'm just kind of lamenting the fact that they're retiring the shuttle, but you got to think that for so long, even since I was a kid, the shuttle's been the face of NASA.
Oh, heck yeah. I did a 10th grade speech on it when it was still like test flying on the Enterprise was test flying on the back of the Boeing 747. They were doing like test glides and landings.
The Enterprise.
Yeah. And then they finally launched one and I said, this is how it's going to go. Boosters break off and the orbiter goes into orbit and it comes in, it lands like a plane. I think I got an A on that.
Well, you know, it's like my whole school career has been pushed aside the efforts that I make, and then something happens like I really study hard for a test and I got sick, so I didn't really actually take the test. Well, this is the one time I actually worked on something for my own, and I've talked about this on the show before, but I made my own scrapbook of newspaper articles and drawings of the shuttle I made. I was really into it, and somebody stole my notebook. So all that effort, I'm like, I mean, it was like probably years worth of stuff. I'm not kidding. It was just, and I, on the cover, I drew the cycle of the shuttle going up, flipping over, and then you coming back down, you know, like
you had to draw the shuttle like 18 times for each stage of the thing, didn't you?
Yeah, got real good
at drawing the shuttle, didn't you?
Yeah, I had like the Earth's curvature, and then you could see it going up and coming down. Yep. Yeah, I went through the whole thing, and it breaks my heart that somebody stole it, probably to turn it in as a project. I don't know, but yeah, screw them.
Been there, done that. Hey, what you could do to them is you could take this 1.25 kilojoule DIY coil gun and smash their house.
You know what? I've dreamt of that.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Hey, forget TP.
Over at Gizmodo, there is a picture and a photo. Now, these look like the size capacitors that I gave Eric Butkovich for his plasma cutter. These are huge. They're like the size of a can of Coke. I mean, it's danger, high voltage, do not touch, death or serious injury may occur, reads the yellow sticker on the side of the 1.25 kilojoule DIY coil gun. It's kind of interesting. There's a video that goes through how the parts work and how it built it up. It takes a while to charge this thing up, but what you do is he puts this steel rod, maybe 7 or 8 centimeters in there, shaped like a bullet, and it mm-hmm. launches this thing with the coil. It's basically a solenoid, electromagnet, whatever you want to call it, and shoots the heck out of these things. He lines up a plastic model and a microwave oven and a lamp and just blows the bejesus out of them. Of course, he's got a laser to help sight the thing.
This is like a rail gun?
Kind of, yeah. He loads the...
Yeah, I was going to say...
It's dangerous looking is what it is.
Yeah, no kidding. I remember a guy explaining to me one time about a rail gun, and I was like, wow, that sounds amazing. And, you know, but the power you'd have to really need it to do some damage is you can't just carry it around with you.
This one's actually running off of, what did he say, a 12-volt lithium-ion battery, kind of like a laptop battery.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, this one that looks more...
portable.
More portable, yeah.
It actually looks like something right out of, you know, a sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm. You have to have a license for something like this?
Not yet. It kind of reminded me of the laser pointer story.
The laser pointer story?
The laser pointer, you know, the laser, the lightsaber that Lucas got after.
Oh, the blue,
that one.
We talked about for like 6 weeks straight.
That's the one. You got it.
That's the one. Yep.
All right, we're going to do a real quick remember when. And this one is all about, kind of scary, another Gizmodo story. Where do they get these things?
I don't know, but I think they're kind of cool.
This is
speaking of steampunk.
Yeah, speaking of steampunk, this is 15 images of vintage prosthetics that will, they're mildly creepy. This first one's got a fork, a corkscrew, a hook. I'm not sure what that other one is, maybe a trailer hitch? Then we got the leg, which I've actually seen in museum pictures.
You hang your keys off of it.
The leg has a little cutout, and you can have a pistol hidden in your thigh, which sort of reminded me of Sarah on Chalk, how she's always got a gun or a knife or something tucked away in mm-hmm. places you wouldn't even conceive. There's a creepy old metal hand that looks like it's out of some horrific movie.
It looks like a steampunk Terminator hand.
Oh, we're getting to the Terminator hand, don't worry. There's a peg leg that looks like it came right off the shipwreck. It's kind of encrusted with stuff.
Yeah, it looks like a plaster of Paris.
At first, it looks like some kind of vase, but no, it's a peg leg.
Vase. Wow, look at this Ming vase. No, actually, it was just a prosthetic leg.
You got all kinds of arms and plastic legs with trusses to hold them on. Those don't look so bad.
Yeah, they don't look so bad, and they got leather straps. And,
This baby, the number 7, looks like it's well loved. I mean, he's got electrical tape up and down the thigh. This thing must have been well worn.
Yeah.
It's just the leg. I'm going to kind of go skip over the black and white photo. The guy looks like he's trying to seduce somebody. It could be pornographic for the era. Yeah. Want to see my false leg?
Hey, baby. Yeah.
There's one here that looks kind of like a harpoon, but when you look at it closer, it's an arm piece. I'm taking it's the right arm. He's got a hook and a clamp, and the clamp actually opens with this lever more up the forearm. So as you press it against the side of your body, it opens up the clamp so you can actually grab something.
I was thinking Ahab or something.
No. There's another lower right arm with the hand wide open, and that's just kind of creepy in and of itself.
Yeah.
A real peg leg that must have some kind of locking joint so you can walk more naturally. The thigh, I think. Watch your head. And then my favorite, number 14, which looks like a kind of a steampunk Terminator hand. If it was more copper colored and brass colored, that thing would be awesome. But the creepiest one, I think, is this last one with the artificial big toe.
Yeah, and it looks like it's actually got a real foot in there.
Yeah, I think it does. There's part of a real foot still in this thing.
He needed the prosthetic, but then he just lost the whole thing, so forget it.
Now he's got to go back to the leg that with the gun in the thigh.
Yeah. It's all a circle. But the big toe is actually nicely carved.
He couldn't afford the upgrade.
Oh boy, yeah. That I thought that was funny. That it looked like his foot was actually remaining instead.
Scary. Mm. All right, does that lead us to the media corner? Are we there already?
Yes, sir. We are.
Oh my goodness, flipping around all these pages and things. All right, coming up right after the media corner. What do you got anyway? We've got how to make your own power loader, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Craig's son Harrison gives us a quick review of his impressions of Star Trek: The Undiscovered Country and a creepy Pokemon trailer.
You're listening to Chuck and Craig on the latest episode of the Technorama podcast. And this is Ed Ovette interrupting the show to ask you to visit my show at edsmixbag.com for all genres of pod-safe music and a mystery sound contest with prizes. All of this and much more, creating a podcast that's out of this world. That URL again is edsmixbag.com. And now back to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Send up about 38 silver dollar pancakes and about a gallon of syrup, baby. And a fresh TV.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
This is Steve Holden at TechNewsRadio.com. When you listen to Technorama, just about anything can happen.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
First one up in the media corner is from Gizmodo. How hard would you kick yourself if the aliens came and you hadn't made your own power loader?
I know. I dream. I wake up in a nightmare because of that.
Every day it's the same story, right?
Yeah. Every day, in and out, same thing.
Well, Alex, the movie geek, constructed one in only 2 weeks. This meticulously detailed full-size power loader that he shows on page. Oh, that is awesome looking. He's generously offered instructions so that you can do the same. But first, there's a video complete with the alien queen full-size replica, but they don't do battle with each other. It's just kind of a fun video to watch. And it actually shows how he gets into this thing and out of it. But he doesn't quite walk the same way as in the movie with ka-thump, ka-thump. This thing makes it a little, it's more of a shuffle.
Do the claws, are they articulated?
Yes, they do.
Hmm, cool.
The legs aren't quite as articulate. It's more like a little shuffle with maybe 3 or 4 inch step on every one.
Yeah, I think the one that Wrigley. Yeah. Well, she was in, it was a little bigger, wasn't it?
No, it was about this size.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It looked like it. I have to go back and look.
Very cool. I saw this and went, oh, yeah. Bring that to Dragon Con and try and get in the elevator.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't made something like that, to pick up shipments and whatnot, like in a warehouse.
We'll have to call Alex the Movie Geek. I thought there was something like this. Now, is there not?
Yeah, he goes, oh, really? After all this time, I spent 2 weeks and I could have just bought one?
Well, I'm sure the real one would be more expensive, and his is probably mostly plastic. I'm curious where you go get some hydraulic jacks and things to make this actually work.
Yeah, let's get him on for an interview. What's the power load? Yeah, what's the average load on this thing?
Yeah, Alex, the movie geek.
10 pounds.
Then the plastic cracks.
Yeah.
Bad time. Now, this one was all over the internet last week. I can't tell you how many times I saw this. The Pokemon Apocalypse, only it's spelled Apocalypse.
Yes, and actually, you know what? I showed this to Harrison, and he was, because there's a couple of a little bit of language in there, so I told him just to ignore it. It's a good dad, right?
Right, just ignore it, son.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we watched it, and he was like, oh, there's so-and-so, and there's so-and-so, you know.
He knows all the names?
Yeah, not just the Pokemons, but of the characters, too, you know. So, yeah, he does know all the names. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, he thought it was kind of neat.
It almost makes you wish they actually made the movie.
He goes, do you think they'll really make the movie? I'm like, Harrison, no, these are people that just made it on their own, on their own dime. But Pikachu looked pretty sad there, didn't he?
He looked like a rabbit, man. He got run over.
It was a stunt rabbit.
No Pikachus were actually harmed in the making of this film. It was all rabbits.
Yeah.
I found out on my lawn last week. 3.5 million views on this baby. Yeah, as far as the production of the video, it was pretty darn good.
Yes, it wasn't bad at all. Yeah.
I think the guy that's playing Ash is a little old, but it cracked me up when they had one of the two named where they went, get ready for trouble and make it double or something.
Oh, Team Rocket.
Team Rocket. Yeah. They didn't just say that.
Yeah, and make it double. I was like, oh, gosh. That's funny. Yeah, Harrison thought that was funny, too. But, except for they were showing him shooting guns, and, you know, that was a little out there, but for the characters, at least.
It makes you realize just how powerful the desktop video processing stuff is these days, that somebody could turn something like that out.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You know, what was that? I think when we were talking about that on the show the other day, it was...
Yep.
It was some Star Trek... I can't remember what it was, but I remember thinking if they... Oh, I know what it was. It was the Star Wars video. And I was like, if they had a little bit of budget to up the quality just a tad,
right?
This is TV quality all the way. As a matter of fact, I'd probably watch it on TV in the same form as it was. You know, it was great.
Final thing, I don't know where you get one of these, but I want one. This is from IO9, the spinning TARDIS on your desktop. Uses a magnet at the top and a magnet on the bottom to kind of levitate this thing, and it'll just sit there and spin because there's no friction. It says, all the time and space will be at your fingertips with this model TARDIS. It uses magnets to keep Doctor Who's famous time machine levitating, and then a little gentle push will make it spin around like in the vortex.
Wow, you can have one for $44.95.
Is that what it says? I was looking
for... Yeah, if you click through to Needorama... Which is where it's at.
Okay. I thought it was a ThinkGeek. $45? Does it play the music too?
Yeah, when you spin it, it goes dun 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 dun. And then it slows down, you know.
Dun 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 dun.
It's out of stock.
Oh.
You know what'd have been cool? Whoa. The bottom there. See the bottom under it, there's a circle. Yeah, I guess it's where a magnet's at.
Yeah.
In the black area. They should have painted that to look like the little vortex, like it's flying through it. That would have been nice.
Or you could just put some cellophane behind it that spins around, too. With real lightning.
Aluminum foil. Yeah, lightning. Real lightning.
Just get those capacitors off of that coil gun that we had earlier, and you're good.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Finally, up in the geek library. What happened to our geek?
Whoa.
Your review.
Yeah, Harrison and I watched Star Trek: The Undiscovered Country, and I realized I probably skipped a few movies. should have probably started him off with one. Then I thought better of that. He's only eight. I thought, well, maybe I should start him off with Khan. But actually, we can go back and watch that one. It's not really breaking anything for him. But we watched Undiscovered Country, and he seemed to like it all right. And we recorded a little review.
So here we go.
All right, we're going to talk to Harrison about his review of Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. So tell us your thoughts, Harrison.
It was really cool. It was really cool. Cool. I especially liked it when the,
The what?
Ambassador? No, the,
Gorkon? The Chancellor?
No, when the, Assassinator was about to, kill the president.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, the Star Trek team beamed in and Kurt saved the president.
Oh, how did he do that?
He threw himself over it right before the laser shot.
Okay, so what other things did you like about the movie?
That's basically it.
That's it?
I couldn't do it.
Well, they're looking for the magnetic boots, the Excelsior, the Klingons.
The Klingon king.
Chancellor.
Chancellor got shot by this group of Klingons and Star Trek members that joined teams because they didn't want peace. So they were trying to stop peace from happening.
Yeah, they were scared of what was going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you like Rua Pente? Do you want to go vacation in Rua Pente?
Tell us
about that place.
It's icy, it's a mine, and you don't get treated very well.
Yeah, I guess not. So is it a thumbs up for you or a thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
What? The movie's a thumbs down?
Oh, I thought you meant the place a thumbs down. Sorry.
So what do you think about the movie? So was it good?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, tell everybody bye.
See ya.
Craig, that kid ready to shave now? He sounds like he's about 16.
Yeah, we're shipping him off to college next week. No. Hey, well, I was going to bring up the question, and Mad Marv brought it up in the chat room, is how should I start my kid off with Star Trek? Because, you know, technically Enterprise is the chronological beginning, but then we have the TOS, and then we have, you know, the movies in order. So what do you do?
What was the chronological beginning?
Enterprise, the show.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you said Next Generation for a minute. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Enterprise, you know, it's actually technically the beginning of the timeline, but I don't know. I liked Enterprise enough to show it to him, but starting off with the movies, I thought maybe with the original crew, I'd watch show him some episodes. I thought about showing him Space Seed from Star Trek, the original series, and then showing him Khan and going from there.
Yeah, at least the first movies, if you wanted to watch and get the most out of Wrath of Khan, you've got to see Space Seed. And you follow that up with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then you really don't have to watch in order anymore because they're really standalone stories unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing some overarching story other than Riker and Troy's wedding?
You know, starting off, well, in the original series movies, the Khan and Genesis were the first, or 2, 3, 4, you know, right there. So,
spoiler alert, Data dies.
Oh, man. And Wash. Oh. So, yeah, I don't know if there's... I might show him some TOS episodes. We'll see. Right. Those are on Netflix too, right? I think they are streaming on Netflix.
I'm pretty sure they are. Speaking of Star Wars, that's a great way to round us out with the Geek Library.
Hey, by the way,
yeah.
If you want to give me some feedback verbally, call the listener line.
206 to here.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Apparently, the transporter's slow.
can also email
Send your comments to technorama at chuckchat.com.
You just spit it out, Chuck.
All right, good. Which brings us to the Geek Library. Bring your pizza up to Warp 10. Think Geek now has a Star Trek pizza cutter. Coolest pizza cutter ever. I don't know about 25 bucks for a pizza cutter, but I like it. Let me get a desktop image for our web viewers here. This is rocking cool. You can see.
I like the one. Hey, I like. Sorry. Go ahead and describe it. I got a comment.
Okay. The saucer section is actually the pizza cutter wheel, and it even says NCC 1701 on it. And then the handles are the nacelle and the engineering, the three cylindrical sections that you hang on to. So it makes for a nice, it's the TOS ship, as close as I can tell from this anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look on the action shots, you know, they usually put other pictures of...
comes in a box that looks more like an iPhone box, but yeah, very cool.
But like the third picture is the two guys that are about to, like they're about to go at it, and I'm thinking, why'd you bring a pizza cutter to a gunfight?
A phaser fight. Idiot brought a pizza cutter to a phaser fight, and then they show it in action, actually cutting pizza.
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, it's actually it's kind of nice. I wonder if it's awkward to hold. It just looks kind of.
Or if it's going to break where the saucer section connects to the.
Or in the cell when you're trying to push down.
Yeah, if it's one solid cast piece, it should be pretty sturdy. But
this is from the alternate universe, not the traditional canon. They didn't have pizzas in space.
All right, and with that.
Actually, wait a minute. The replicator would actually make it sliced.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right. Yeah. I prefer to cook it and cut it with my phaser.
Computer, hot pizza. Whoa, sliced. All right.
Would you like your Earl Grey sliced too, Captain? Ooh.
Slightly warm.
Replicator's got an attitude.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. Like we said, if you want to give us a call on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT, or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, because that's the way we roll.
Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we have an Enterprise salt and pepper shaker, and the nacelles are, you take them off, and you know, salt and pepper in them.
All I can think of when you say salt and pepper is that song, Push It.
And on that note, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Special thanks to all the people who keep the live stream and whatnot going. Mad Marv, he's got a whole bunch of great blog content. If you're not going there during the week and checking out all of the postings and things that Marv and Craig and I are putting up there, why not subscribe to the RSS feed? You're getting the podcast anyway, so you know about that technology. Or if you're just downloading it, come back and visit us. Ustream, they keep our modest live streams going and archive stuff for us. Good time. Check it out. If you happen to be around on Sunday night, we'd love to see you there. As we mentioned at the top of the show, get in on that chat room action. ThinStack.net for the chat room action. They provide this all for free, and we greatly appreciate it. This show, if you don't happen to already know, is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Also affiliated with a ton of podcasts over at Farpoint Media. Farpointmedia.com is where you'll find that. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
Oh yeah, 101.
What the?